Good morning and welcome. I thank Pastor Brad for letting me take his stand this week. But I want to share with you a section of scripture that's very powerful in my family's life, but very powerful, I hope, in your life as well. And if you have a Bible or a cell phone or an iPad, turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 9. The Gospel of John, chapter 9. And I know your pastor last week also was on this, and I've just kind of been still living the whole week in the 9th chapter in the Gospel of John. And it's pretty powerful stuff. I've shared with you the story of how that entered into my life a couple of times ago. But you know what? As I come this morning, I want to share with you that I think I left my notes back here on the chair. Okay, let's go there. Gospel of John, chapter 9. All right? And look with me and see this man that Jesus encounters. Jesus heals a man born blind. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, that this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground, made mud with saliva. He anointed the man's eyes with mud and said to him, "Go, wash yourself in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Wow. This man on the side of the road was passed by many times by people who offered him sustenance, finance, support. But that was his kind of position in life because from birth, he was blind and he could not see. He could not see. And so as this day comes, his life was about to radically be changed. Jesus was in the house. He was walking along. And as he was walking along, he sees the man. And as he sees the man, he, as at times before throughout the New Testament, and as prophesied even in the Old Testament, Jesus gives sight to the blind. But this miracle is unlike any other miracle in the New Testament, because what Jesus does, he bends down, he makes kind of like a paste, if you will, as he spit on the earth and made the paste, and he anoints the man's eyes, and then he tells him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, the Pool of Siloam had been around for quite a while. Okay, Hezekiah, actually, if you go back in Old Testament days, Hezekiah, 2 Kings, this Pool of Siloam was built because they needed a secure water source because water meant life in the communities where Jesus did ministry. And even in the Old Testament, precious, precious commodity. They just couldn't open the refrigerator and get a bottle of water and drink a bottle of water. This was a protected water source because in 2 Kings, this country was being ravaged by all kinds of people trying to destroy it, and they needed living water. So the Pool of Siloam was built by Hezekiah, and they could go safely and securely to drink water from this well. Man has paste on his eyes. His friends must have been there, had to be there to take him and get him to the pool and wash his face, if you will, and wash his face. And he came back seeing. Wow. Interesting. What did he see? When I look at this New Testament section in chapter 9, what did the blind man see? Well, the first thing he saw, the disciples. You see the disciples, all right? They're there. And now as he comes back seeing, they'd seen this man, and they're looking at Jesus. And they're saying, "Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he's born blind? Who sinned here, you know?" And what they're trying to do is trying to prove a point, okay? They're trying to prove a point. This man, Jesus, heals. Their teacher, Jesus, heals, okay? And even as the disciples would see it, they're questioning. Now, it wasn't unusual, because even in the mindsets and thoughts, if you will, of the disciples in that day, if somebody had a calamity or a disfigurement or a hearing or whatever, it was because either they or their parents sinned. So this isn't unusual and not an unusual question to be asked. But look what Jesus does. He said, verse 3, Jesus answered, it was not this man sinned or his parents, but the works of God might be displayed through him. Ho, ho, ho. Ooh. All right. See, the disciples are trying to point the finger. And you know what? They're blinded by judgment. These disciples are blinded by judgment. Jesus is paying attention to this person, blind from birth. Jesus, who sinned that this man was born blind. And you know what? They're blinded by their own judgment. How many of you have ever been judgmental? Okay. When you get to heaven, you know who you're going to meet? You're going to meet Grandma Gerner, about this tall, silver hair. And you know what Grandma Gerner used to say? She'd say, if you judge people, you know, you point the finger at people, okay? Mom, if I point the finger at you, I got three of them coming back. One, two, three at me. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God's not taking resume for judge, all right? He's not going to take a resume for judge. He's still judge. He's still God. He's still grace-filled and merciful, giving, loving God. And the disciples are judging. So maybe you've taken it upon yourself to judge. Maybe you've been blinded by judgment this past week, like the disciples. Oh, my goodness. Wow. We can confess that because no one has the right to judge. Okay? God is showing his work through this man, number one. Look at verse 8. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, it is he. Others said, no, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the man. Listen to the blind man. I am the man. I am the one Jesus anointed. I am the one he told to go to the pool of Siloam. I am the one, okay, that is healed. I am he. I'm the one that you walked by. I'm the one that you left out in the cold. I'm the one that you didn't support like you probably could have. Okay? But the neighbors, they're blinded. Okay, the disciples were blinded by judgment. The neighbors are blinded by skepticism. Maybe he is, maybe he's not, you know. Maybe the tacos are done, maybe they're not, you know. Maybe the meal's ready, maybe it's not. Maybe Jesus did do this, maybe Jesus didn't do that. Skepticism, they are blinded by skepticism. Has anyone been skeptical this week? Have you been skeptical? Have you thought, well, maybe God loves them more than he loves me? Or maybe, you know, he plays better piano than I play? Or maybe his value is worth more than mine? No, skepticism is rampant. These neighbors were blinded by skepticism. The disciples' judgment, the neighbors' skepticism. Wow. We'll move on. Here's another group that's always fascinating. The Pharisees. The Pharisees. Oh, my goodness. They had a religion to die for in their own minds. They were all legends in their own minds. Not only did they take and retranslate and reconvict and reconstruct the word of God, but what they did is that they added their own rules. They made their own religion. It was such a powerful religion that no one could humanly live up to it, but they were the closest. And so now what they've done, they've constructed. Look what the Pharisees say. Go with me to verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now, it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him, how had we received his sight? And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes and washed, and I see. Look at the Pharisees here. They're blinded by their own pride, their own religion, their own man-made thing. Here in 16, and they said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. Ding, 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 ding. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? Ding, 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 ding. There he is. And there was a division among them. And they said again to the man, what do you say about him since he has opened your eyes? Look what the blind man saw. Look what he said. He's a prophet. He's a prophet. And I love this next one. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind, so he had received his sight until they called his parents. Okay. So the Pharisees, they're saying this can't be. Okay. He's doing things on the Sabbath that are against our laws, so he can't be. You know what? He must be really a good sinner. a big sinner, because how can a sinner heal a blind man? They're they're divided. They're prideful. They're trying to live up to their own man-made religion and just take God totally out of the equation. So the disciples, powerful enough, were blinded by judgment. The neighbors, by skepticism. The Pharisees, wow, blinded by pride. How many of you ever wrestle with pride? Anyone here? Okay, pride. Sometimes pride, as well as skepticism, as well as judgment, can blind us from the reality of who Jesus really is and the kingdom of God that we can have right now. The kingdom is ours right now, not when we cross over and see Jesus face to face. The kingdom of God, his presence, his power, his peace, his love, his mercy, that's all of ours right now. But the Pharisees, oh my. Okay, well, he's a sinner. He does things on the Sabbath. He's just not measuring up, Jesus. And so they weren't quite convinced, even when the blind man who had received his sight said he is a prophet. Okay? So what do? They go another round. They're thinking to themselves, we've got to get this guy. He's making us nervous. People are listening to him. He's just, oh my goodness, what are we doing? Okay, hey, let's get his folks in here. All right. They drag his folks in. Look here. Wow, verse 18. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is this your son, you say, was born blind? How then does he see? Verse 20. His parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we don't. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself. Oh, no. Come on. What's happening here? The parents are afraid. They're blinded by fear. Blinded by fear. Oh, my goodness. Ask him. Yes, he is our son. We love him. We know him. Ask him. Their fear was that they would be judged by the religious authorities and kicked out of the synagogue and not able to come back, losing their status, losing whatever. But they were blinded by fear. All right? That's a little rehearsal here. Once again, the disciples were blinded. Okay? And they were blinded. The disciples, the neighbors were skeptic. All right, the disciples' judgment, the neighbors' skeptics, the Pharisees, they were blinded by their own religion and pride, and the parents blinded by fear. Okay? Again, he ask him, he's of age, he's old enough to speak for himself. You know, don't worry about it. And I think about all of these responses. I think about this man born blind. And I've got to ask, are we blind? Sometimes I think we are. Because I know in my life I've been judgmental. I know in my life I've taken it upon myself to give the judgment. You know, and God's not taking that. Lord, please forgive me, a poor sinful being. Okay? In my life I've been skeptical. You know what? And that's probably of all four of those blinding, spiritually robbing events, skepticism is probably my biggest sin. Skeptical. I get skeptical. And you know what? When bad things happen, oh my goodness. Classic Grace this morning, if you've ever been there, you need to go. It's 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. Before you come here, Pastor Brad, come here, the wonderful people of Classic. We had Grandma and Grandpa with us today. They have Luke and Lily, okay? Luke and Lily are beautiful twins that are just precious, precious twins. And Grandma began to cry as she talked in Classic this morning. And she said, you know, Leroy, we almost lost Lily this week. They were all out at a family gathering. And Mom and Dad were in the pool. Grandma and Grandpa were on the side of the pool. And Grandma just kind of looked out on the pool. And here was Lily face down in the water, not breathing. Not breathing. And Mom turned around, snatched her out. And in the blueness of this child, she restored this child mouth to mouth. The child came back. And you know, this is a very unusual neighborhood.
that they live in, because you heard of the two-year-old that was eaten by the alligator. You heard of the second child that died. These are all in the same neighborhood. And now Lily lived, and Grandma was thankful to God, because now she can do even more ministry there. As she said this morning, my grandchild lived. And I could show you my grandchild. She's here this morning. And I'll tell you, you get me in the back. You can hold that little Millie Rose, and everything that's bad in the world goes away. But you know what? We have a lot of fear. And maybe you don't. Maybe you're not skeptic. When I'm skeptical, you know what? I want to say, God, why? Why does this happen? Why is this world so crazy? Why are the choices of fallen people dictating the direction of our country? Why? 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 And in my skepticism, I just want to shake my hand at God and say, why do these things happen? Why? And God lovingly reminds me, He's still God. He's still in control. And He takes my angry why, and He turns it into a how. He turns it into a how. From a why to how, God, can you use this for your glory? How? Okay. And in Romans 8:28, He says, I work all for the good, all, not just the good things, not just the happy times, not just the family reunions where everything goes right. I work all for the good of those who love me and been called according to my purpose. I don't know how, and no pastor can tell you when, but God is still in control. Bible says it. By faith, we believe it. Amen? Amen. And so you think about the old skeptic Leroy. And when he turns that why into a how, God, I don't understand it, but how, I'm going to trust you by faith to do it, to live it, and to show me how you can work all of this for your good, because you are God, okay? So, Lord, forgive me in my skepticism, okay? Now, once again, the disciples, wow, the neighbors, the Pharisees, and the parents, I want you guys to see one verse. Because every one of you is a part of this. Go back up to verse 3. Jesus answered, is that this man sinned or his parents, but the works of God might be displayed in him? Okay? That's your verse today. Whether you're young or old, that's your verse today. God has sent his son into this world for you. And as he sent his son into this world, he is there to live what we can't live, to die what we wouldn't die, and be accepted as a sacrifice for every single thing that separates us from God and from each other. And so maybe today you're struggling with doubt. Maybe today you're struggling and you come here and you say, God, I'm going to go to the haven one more time and I need you to help me in my hopelessness. Okay? I need you to help me in my hopelessness. And I pray that every heart in this room would not leave this room. There are wonderful people of prayer that will stand and meet you right after the service or in the back if it's too challenging to come up front. They will meet you. They will pray with you. They will encourage you. They will bless you. And God will answer your prayer according to his good and gracious will in Jesus Christ. Okay? I pray. That as you see each of these today, that God would continue to mount up in your heart the privilege of knowing him and bless you in what he does. So today, the kingdom of God is now. The reality of his presence is right here. And so please today, don't leave. If you are struggling, if you're challenged, and after the service, I know Aaliyah and her wonderful group, thank you again for bringing us to the throne. You've got the greatest groups of singers here. It's awesome. Please take time after that to have a time of prayer with anyone that would pray and they'll come up. Okay? Let's pray right now. Father, again, I just thank you for the privilege of looking at your people today and seeing their hearts, seeing the presence of your Holy Spirit in them. As vessels of your very Spirit, Lord, we are grateful that we can do your work
among your kingdom. Thank you that you would choose to put with us your works and that you would be displayed in our living, Lord. We are who we are, and we're forgiven by what you've done. We are who we are, and we are vessels of your Holy Spirit. We are who we are, and Lord, we still struggle, but you are greater. And Lord, I pray that today that we could each one claim the promise that greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. And so, Lord, if we are wrestling with anything, even those listed today or those not listed today, we would by your grace be able to share them with you. So, Lord, bless today our continuing of this service. Thank you for the gift of your holy and inspired word. Thank you that you do your great work through us as we rest in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.